Do not open this door.
I had to say it anyway because it doesn't make sense in the movie.
And then I got on top and I spit into his mouth.
Well, it doesn't ruin my story. It just makes it a conversation rather than a story.
Perhaps a little drunk from the day's festivities.
I would love to meet the woman who liked it.
I love the moon landing from the standpoint of I believe in the moon landing.
What makes me want to kill myself is people who, when you're watching, I'm not leading it with anything. I had to mention this because it has something to do with movies. People who will watch a film in English and then put on English subtitles. It drives me bananas.
Who the fuck does that?
At least 3 people I know.
I guess it helps that I'm so isolated and don't know so many people.
I
don't know this behavior. It makes no sense to me.
It's like somebody is always saying something twice. It just drives me fucking bananas. Bananas.
Okay.
Bananas in pajamas. I don't get it at all. I really don't get it.
I get that maybe you should let it roll off your back a little bit there, but it doesn't make sense to me for sure.
I'm sure it's some sort of neurotic thing because I can't look at, I found myself today just listening to a movie.
Oh.
I can't look at it. It's like a strobe light. It's just like absurd to me. It's not ideologically, although I don't like the idea of it either. It's like Johnny Two-Tone. It's just like constant repetition of the same information within a millisecond.
Yeah. Huh. But you don't feel this way when it's a foreign film.
No, because I don't. It's not a repetition for me. Right, it's right, blah, 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 oh, blah, blah. here's what the guy said.
It's their animal tongue and then the good English words.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I mean, that's interesting. If I ever do learn a second language, if I ever get French down and then I watch with English, maybe I'll feel the same way. Probably not, though.
Nah, La 300 Blues.
Blah, blah, blah.
I don't know. I don't know that I have encountered that situation.
Yeah, so I don't get it.
Unfortunate in that way, in that regard.
All right. So you and my brother and I were on text thread not that long ago, and there was this. There were a few. Every once in a while, one of us will pop out. Greatest Barry Manilow soundtrack to a movie, whatever it is.
Okay. Wow.
We'll get the greatest or worst or and you two started talking about I think it was like franchises or something. It was something like that.
Great, best franchises. This is like a month ago.
It was about a month ago. And I love by the way, I don't know if I put this in there. You give me Planet of the Apes, baby.
Yes, you did.
I love it. And I'll tell you, I know this is like I can't think of a good example, a good parallel, but it's like the annoying guy who hates the one good thing and then loves all the bad stuff. You know, it's like when somebody I know and love said to me recently, who's been a Woody Allen fan for years, yeah, I don't find it funny at all. But it's like, well, yeah, that's fair because half his stuff is serious and there's stuff
but
to
there's
like.
Always
but
the comedy.
How were you loving him this whole time? And it's like, oh, but he's not funny. I guess I do that with Robin Williams, by the way. But anyway, the point is, I don't like the first Planet of the Apes. That's one of the points. That wasn't even the main point. But they're on they got guns, they're on horses, and some movies are driving Volkswagens. I love apes doing shit, man. Call me a simpleton.
Simpleton. Simpleton. So when you say you don't like the first one, you mean like the Charlton Heston original?
And by the way, I don't hate it. I think it's fine. It's but not. What I don't like about it is it's the one that's the most trying to like make a point, man.
What do you
think? Damn you!
Racism is awesome. Let's go.
Yeah. So it's like, to me, it's sort of burdened with that, but it's like, I like the others. But that's not the point I was getting at.
Monkeys with guns on horses.
I love
it. And that movie did not have much of that.
Not enough. And by the way, by the time 73 comes around and they're in 1970s, they're no longer on horses. They're the ones who are being victimized, but then they're escaping. They're escaping. They're in a VW bug. They're driving around. I mean, it's
Roddy
great.
McDowell's finest, some of his so finest good. Work. That and Fright Night, yes.
And I love all the new ones.
Yeah.
It has not dissipated. I like the 70s Planet of the Apes. Mm-hmm. I like the ones in the 2000s, like the one that's coming out.
Now, question. I'm imagining. Yes. Do you remember? That looks fucking terrible. Anyways. Did you ever watch the TV show?
I know that I did, but I have no like coherence.
I remember exactly one thing from it.
What?
Which is that it took place in the Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
and they took advantage of the BART being created, and so they had like BART tunnels, and then they also had like a BART train there with like the old logo on it. Mm. They were talking about the amazing nuclear power trains that the humans used to have. I remember that part. It's weird.
You ever get sad when you watch movies or television shows that have the World Trade Center in them?
No,
because it's such a prominent, because when they were still around. Before the inside job knocked them down.
Well, I mean, Tommy. They're still there, Joe. We know that, right?
Except for Building 7. When they were still around, every time there was a shot of the skyline post-1973 mm-hmm. until 2001, just to be specific, mm-hmm. it was prominent.
That
They would always center it in the shot. So it was like, it's so mm-hmm. prominent. It's so sad to me.
Well, no, I don't make it. I don't get sad watching that because it's New Yorkers. Yep, no, sure. No, but I do notice it. It's always mm-hmm. a little bit jarring.
You're like,
oh fuck, yeah, those used to be big.
Yeah, but even that was not the point. The point was we're on this text thread, and you and my brother said something, and I'm like, this is bananas. And I thought I would wait, and this is the perfect time to
bring it up.
Okay,
so the ambush commences. Go.
A fun movie. Okay.
Okay.
Got some good action, which is going to be thematic for today. Fantastic. John Wick is a good movie.
No.
It's okay.
Well, no, it's a ridiculous said that. Movie.
It's not, it's bad. And it has it has things in it that you like isolated, like, ooh, that's fun. But the movie is bad.
It's a terrible movie.
Oh, okay.
Guy loses a dog and fucking kills 173
people. Oh my God. And the repetition of like the, okay, that he's up against the mob, the big cheese, whatever it is, but that big cheese admires him nonetheless and does and hates his own spoiled son. I mean, come on, see every other movie that's been made.
Yeah, there's nothing original. The only thing that's, what makes it fun is that it's so stupid.
Yeah.
It buys its own plot or fiction.
No,
or whatever you want
I think
to
I had a flashback.
Its own legend on
of when I was talking with you and Evan was like, Point Break is a great movie.
It's not a great movie.
It's a terrible movie.
It's fun, but yeah, it's not
fun,
a great
fun.
Movie.
Yeah, I grant you that.
John Wick is fun, the first one. And then immediately it goes, everything else after that is shit.
And by
it's
the
super
way,
popular.
I don't even buy into the whole Keanu Reeves. I like Keanu Reeves. I got no beef with the Reeves.
I love the Keanu. All of the Reeves guys.
The KR is all right in my book, buddy.
But it's just like second movie moving forward, it was like it got douchey and like really started to smell its own balls.
Okay.
Oh, the charcuterist wants to talk to you. You know, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay. Yeah, well, I think my wife and I watched 3/4 of the first one. And by the way, loved both of us. Like, ooh, he's riding a bicycle on the roof. He's juggling a dog. He's shooting out a cat's asshole. I mean, he's just going crazy there. But the movie,
it's horrible. That's a terrible movie.
Okay.
But it's fun to watch, and it's very popular.
You might want to get more on that, Mike. Blowing the mic. That's not what inspired this, but it's just coincidental because we're doing a kind of an off the cuff episode here. Ha cha cha chi machi, which was harder than I thought to put together.
Yep.
And that's the best like fight scenes in movies.
Yeah.
In general. That are not, go ahead.
Like a martial art.
Not a martial arts.
And that gets a little weirder than I thought it.
And also not a gunfight.
No gunfights.
We took guns out of it.
Guns, get out of here.
And the hachayas out of it.
Right. Now, that being said, I picked a couple where it kind of depends on how you define what a martial art is.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm glad that you have, because I got a couple of waiting in the wings cheaters myself. And also, I thought, you know what I should have said, but I'm not sure that I did, but I felt it was strongly implied by my not telling you. I kind of felt like boxing movies should kind of be out, but we'll see.
I agree.
Okay.
With a caveat, which we'll get into in a minute.
Which is that you included some.
No.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah,
the martial art, I mean, that's legitimately a real martial art.
What, boxing?
Yeah.
Oh, what makes a martial art, by the way? What makes a fighting art martial?
It's a It's like a system. Mm. You know, you throw a system in there.
They do Southern fighting sometimes, and it goes on for a really, really twangy long time. It's Marshall Tucker arts. Hey, now.
Thanks for making that make sense at the end there, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Damn, you're a joke. That's great.
Well.
You want some of this? You could really taste the Luke.
Ooh. Boy.
It's fucking
that's
terrible.
A little inside. Okay.
All right.
So, yeah. So I numbered them. I always number them.
Mm-hmm.
You made a list. I'm always fascinated by the lists you make and try to...
Not to me?
Yeah, okay.
I do have a list. I didn't get as far... I kind of predicted it was kind of hard for me to come up with some of these.
Mm-hmm. So do you have them in an ascending order, or...?
Not for my purposes, okay. But for your purposes, I will have them, so...
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Shit, hold on.
And I have some alternates, so if you choose one of mine, I'll just replace it with one of these alternates. That's kind of a half-ass would-be cheater. You pulling up your list there, buddy?
I am.
Okay. So these are the greatest fight scenes of all time.
And I got six of them, so...
Oh, okay.
Not tremendous.
I'll give you a few of mine. But the part of the criteria... I mean, it wasn't a criteria at all for them to be of our old sort of... framework of pre-1980s, mm-hmm. and I wasn't trying to force that issue, but I was trying to think, well, it'll be a lot easier just to name movies from the last 5 years. I'm going to see if I can think of any that are really good from an older time period, but it definitely wasn't
part of it. Those are mostly where I'm at.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go number 10 here.
Okay, so hold on.
Oh, go
ahead. Just to make sure of our terms here.
Please.
Are we talking the fight scenes are awesome, or the movie's a good movie?
Oh, no. I'm saying fight scene.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it could be a bad movie. And by the way, I propose this. I have a couple of the YouTubes up here. I propose if either of us wants to bring it up, like the other one's unfamiliar or whatever, let's bring it up. If it doesn't work, I'll just cut it out. If it's too visual or whatever, just cut it out. But let's just take a look at a few of them.
We should reenact it instead. All right. Okay, cool.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, sure.
I'll tell you what. If I come over to your house and you put on an English-speaking film and put on English subtitles, we will be reenacting it, buddy.
And I believe that's going to reference my very first choice when I get to it.
Oh, really?
Since you have more than me, you should probably start.
Okay, I do have more than you in every way. This is...
Not that way.
But probably not. This is 1973, Ryan O'Neal versus Randy Quaid in his first movie, Paper Moon. Did you recall this scene?
I don't.
They're on I love the movie, the but I don't lamb recall the fight. Okay. From Higgins, mm-hmm. Magna P.I.'s Higgins, the sheriff.
Yes.
And they want to switch cars, and so they switch cars, and he says, "I'll wrestle you for the truck."
Okay, I vaguely remember that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it's good because it's barefoot wrestling. Ryan O'Neal, by the way. What a sweet little Twinkie of a man.
Yes.
He's I would agree with that. Yeah. Shinola, that guy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's got some va 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 voom.
Okay.
And Randy Quaid has never been further from Ryan O'Neal in your life. This is corn pony kind of deliverance style family, you know, drinking moonshine out of a triple X jug.
Right.
And Ryan O'Neal is dressed to the nines always because he's this con man.
Yeah.
And so what I love about that scene is that you see him slip out of his con man thing and just get real for a minute.
Right.
Although he ends up tricking Randy Quaid in the fight and sucker punching him.
Right.
But it's a great scene, and you kind of wonder what happened to Randy Quaid, because he was a funny presence for a while. He was the preferred Quaid in my mind.
Oh, he lost his mind.
Well, no, I know. But I'm just saying, for a long time, he was the preferred Quaid. I thought he was more talented than Dennis, probably because he was not born with the looks.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he was that guy who could, like... Yeah, he just looked cornpone just to be. He looks just cornpone to begin with. You
I
know?
Mean, Eddie from his,
like since he was 10.
Vacation, you know.
Yeah. It was Eddie from Vacation, but like the Last Detail we did.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, he's
that's the same year, by the way.
He played a hick right there.
Yeah, although he's much less in this. He's very gregarious, backwoods right. pony guy, and yeah, Last Detail.
Pony guy, pony boy.
Mm. The Outsiders, remember that?
It's not what I was thinking, but okay.
Okay. And yeah, The Last Detail, he's great in that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fantastic in that. But he's like a perpetual second banana. Never really. Oh, I don't know if he ever led. Did he ever have a leading role?
No. The last role of any note was very minor, and he was good in it. He was in Brokeback Mountain.
Was he? Yeah, that's right. Okay.
All yeah. Right. Which is, I think,
a very underrated still movie. Not his greatest work. That'd be Independence
By Day. The way, there's a great fight scene in the tent on the mountain there.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Kind of looked like it, actually.
It sounded like it. It was more like it. There's a little skunk in that kinda, squooch.
Kind of hurt. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Sorry, Tom. All right, yeah, so Paper Moon, it's mm-hmm. I mean, that's not the thing you think of. In fact, it's sometimes I'll watch it and I go, oh, I forgot about this thing that comes up.
Yeah.
Because most of what you remember is in like the first 80% of the movie.
Right.
But God damn, it's a great movie and I think a great, well, 10th place fight scene.
Okay.
All right.
So my first, my bottom pick here is... I picked this because it's one of my favorite, it's one of the funniest fight scenes.
Okay.
It's from a movie called The Big Country.
Oh, I wonder.
Gregory Peck.
Okay. It's with the Burl Ives. A mean son of a bitch, right?
He just played a bastard so well.
Yeah.
He really pulled that off. But this is a fight scene that, like, it's like a little piece of backdrop that's happening throughout, like, a chunk of the movie where he's trying to tame, like, this wild bronco and proving that he's a man. Mm-hmm. And in the background is, like, two, like, 80-year-old men with arthritis mm-hmm. are trying to fight each other, and they kind of can't. And so they're kind of just rolling around in the dust in the background of the scene. It's one of my favorite fight scenes.
That's
one of the funniest fight scenes.
I was thinking about that too, because what makes a great fight scene isn't necessarily great fighting.
Yeah.
Right? There's a movie, I don't want to mention it, it might be on your list, but there's one I was thinking of that I didn't put on my list that has great fighting back and forth. But sometimes it's just that. It's the fight my friend Doug and I were in years ago. when he wanted to drive home drunk, and I tried to wrestle the key, and it was like two middle-aged men trying to wrestle a key back and forth in the front seat of a sedan for 47 minutes. Yeah,
this is the saddest, most. It's so pathetic, this fight, that it's that's kind of becomes art in the background. It's beautiful.
It's kind of realism, because I think really, if you want to get down to it, most fights that most of us have ever been in are just exhausting nothings. Mm-hmm. Like the three punches are thrown and the rest is just wheezing
and they missed, or they bounced off an ear or some shit.
One time, it might have been on a very early episode, but you told me one time years ago that there was someone was spitting into someone's mouth or something. It's on our introduction.
Jesus Christ.
I have it cut into our introduction where he just goes, I spit into his mouth. But
that was me and Dusty. We got in a fight. This is an elementary school.
Yeah, yeah.
Got in a fight. I don't know how we managed to end up in the gym alone, and we just went at it.
Wait, did the fight roll into the gym? Or did you start there?
I don't remember that part. I know it just was there, and it was all empty. It was an elementary school. Mm-hmm. There's a rope sort of dangling in the middle of the room that nobody can fucking climb. Pieces of shit.
Of course, yeah.
Except one bastard, you know, who's also good at soccer or some nonsense.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think his name was Dusty. I think that was like his name. Okay. That's what we called him.
Yeah.
And we were like best friends. Mm. And we just got into this horrible fight. At one point, we were just like spitting in each other's face. It was like holding him down and like spitting in his face and trying to get it into the mouth, make it extra insulting. And, you know, and then we got done and that was it. You know, we were like best friends again.
When you're going to hold someone down and angrily rather than sexually spit into their mouth, mm-hmm. the expectation in that going through your mind is that, oh, I'm never going to be friends with this guy again, right?
I think that was the thought at the moment. Yeah.
I mean, there's no way you think it's going to come back from that.
Yeah. And it's here's how ridiculous it is. When like two, like, 7-year-olds realized, man, that was stupid.
Yeah.
When you have the insight of
a 7-year-old,
fair enough. Yeah. So, sometimes fighting is lame as shit.
Nice. Okay, well, my number 9 is lame as shit. It should have been my number 10, but Treasure Sierra Madre has a fist fight between Tim Holt and Humphrey Bogart on one side, and the character's name is Pat McCormick on the other guy. He's the guy in the first act of the movie who gets them to work 18 hours a day in an oil rig or something.
He cons the shit out of him,
And then disappears, gives him $10. Oh, I'll see you guys later. Maybe I'll pay you later. And then he doesn't pay, and they see him in a bar. And so the reason it's so low on my list is it's not much of a fight. He picks up a beer bottle and gives him the old smash-a-roo, which, by the way, movies taught me that beer bottles over the head, great way. But the news has taught me that that'll land you in the jail for like 20 years. I mean, there's a guy locally
who got, land it right. Yeah.
Who got mad at a woman at a bar we used to frequent. And and I mean, I can well imagine, just to be clear, that she was a real annoying
person,
son of a gun. Yeah. But he just had it with her and smashed a glass on her face, did some permanent damage. He's in the clink for 20 years.
Did she die?
No, but she's permanently disfigured.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
She available?
I'm for you, Tommy. Number, anything.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, what makes the scene ultimately great. It's not a great fight because they get the upper hand on him pretty quickly. It's the ridiculousness of them punching him and him not falling down but rolling along
back
the bar
back and forth along the bar.
it's like a slow game of pinball.
What are you fucking doing?
And then like real gentleman when he's passed out, he goes, "I attack my body," and it's a good disfigured scene for 1948. I gotta say.
Yeah. He looks
pretty
like shit.
Mashed
they
up.
They heard him.
Bogart gets in his wallet, takes the pay, but only the pay.
Yeah. Like an honest recent assault guy.
That's right.
Wow, I don't think that occurred to me to go with that, but okay.
It's minor. It's legit. It's low on my list. Low on my list.
Like me.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so my next pick. Let's go here. Okay.
Take your time.
This is one of the worst movies ever made.
Okay, I can't wait.
And I kind of love it, but it's also one of the ones that kind of, because I'm calling competitive bare knuckle, not a martial art.
Of course. I know what you're going to say. It's the one I mentioned. I bet you it's the one I was thinking of a few minutes ago. Go ahead, please.
Any Which Way But Loose.
Oh, that's not it. That is.
I bet the other one is, though, because I have that one in here, too.
The thing with
that's a anyway, terrible fucking movie.
It's actually, I finally saw it a couple of years ago because I figured it'd be terrible. It was actually better. My expectations were so low. The movie was better than I thought. I recently watched that fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Tom. It's a little bit like the end of Blazing Saddles. It's not an amazing fight scene. I mean, it's got a lot of fighting in it.
It's good fighting.
Yeah, that's
fair. Yeah, it's all right.
You're not
wrong. It's legitimate.
No.
Yeah, don't fuck you. Now, here's the thing. I haven't seen that since 1970. When the fuck it came out? 76 or something like that?
I want to say 77 or 8, but fair enough.
Yeah, and Dad was angry that we made him watch that movie.
What?
He was so
unhappy. He just hated it so much.
He hated that goddamn movie. It was so, like, he would, he didn't like it.
Yeah.
It was one of the few times where, like, as a child, I got the body language on my dad super well on that one. Didn't like it.
Yeah. So. I mean, the most amazing, I think, about those movies, a lot of them, is Sandra Locke, just her presence, because you know what happens later on with her and him. I mean, the real main event is in the courtroom.
Well, right. And the other thing, too, is like, I mean, come on. Like, Clint Eastwood, like a reasonably tough guy.
Yeah.
But he's got those little skinny arms. Like, he's got these little
arms. It only got worse over the years.
Just never got better.
I beg you to see a movie called Cry Macho.
I won't.
He is shuffling. Mm. He's shuffling and barely getting his stroke mouth open. And somehow he has written into the script that a hot, in her 50s, hot woman can't help but bed him.
Right, right.
Not bedpan him, bed him.
Oh, come on. I mean, they might have left that off.
That's
fair. Got left on the cutting room floor.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you one. Now, this, I think, is a real barn burner of a fight.
And
it really ends a movie, and it's climactic. It's morally climactic, too. On the Waterfront. When Terry Malloy and Johnny Friendly fight on that dock. Now, what's shitty about it is eventually Johnny Friendly, being who he is, the mob boss, calls a couple of guys, "Hey, help me out, guys," because Terry Malloy is getting the best of him.
Right.
But Terry Malloy ends up looking not too sweet. He ain't pretty no more. Remember that from Raging Bull?
Right. But mostly he's not a bum.
That's right.
During that fight.
And he contended pretty well, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, his rage, and his rage for a moral cause, because he has already been a canary. He already testified because of his brother Charlie's death, all that stuff. So at that point, this is just like a personal issue.
Right.
And in many movies, when it's like, this time it's personal, this time you believe it.
Yeah.
He has it. And he comes back out, and the culmination of that fight is he's a piece of raw meat, but also if he goes into work, everyone else will follow him. And he has to, and it's like, nope, let him stand on his own 2 feet, whatever it is, you know, like in a like maybe like a marathon or something, like you can't help somebody up. They got to cross the finish line themselves, mm-hmm. or whatever it is.
I wonder why this was on your mind.
this Meloy is, there's a whole moral arc to it that lasts probably about a good 10 minutes, if not more, if you include the fight and then the sort of
after trying effect. To get back up.
Oh my God.
You know, he's thinking to himself like, hey, would you mind fucking helping me here? You dicks.
Eliakazam probably it wasn't in the script. Beat him up, Lee J. Yeah, no, I thought that's a tremendous film.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tremendous film, but I mean, it's a good scene.
No one ever talks about it.
It's interesting. Because the ones I've mentioned and the ones you've mentioned, I don't know that they're the things people talk about in these movies. Big Country, etc.
No, probably. Yeah, not. I mean, I'm sure we'll get to a couple where they're very central, but at the moment, not so much.
Okay, let's hear yours.
All right, look, here's the thing. Okay. If you're talking about knockdown, drag out fights,
please,
in old Hollywood or today, who's better than John Wayne?
Nobody, I think.
The problem with him is every goddamn movie he did had a fist fight in it.
Yeah, some of them were just a one puncher type thing.
I'm going to go with one of his more famous Donnybrook movies.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Donovan's Reef.
Oh,
you were expecting The Quiet Man, but I'm going to go with Donovan's Reef.
Actually, I think we say Chisholm because that's got a pretty good one.
I can't say that out loud.
Chisholm.
Yeah, Chisholm.
Is that like Chisholm?
Yeah.
Okay. And then The Quiet Man. I wish you'd quiet yourself, man. Donovan's Reef. Yeah,
that is the sole redeeming quality.
You shoehorned that into another episode, didn't you? Fucking, you motherfucker.
There's no good reason to love that movie. I love it because it's good. The fight scenes are amazing.
I used to really be hard on myself for loving Soldier of Fortune, but Donovan's Reef makes it look like masterpiece theater.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Right. You know what? You know what the Soldier of Fortune doesn't have?
Mm-mm.
Fucking sweet fight scenes.
Wrong.
Nah, I mean, like good ones.
It's not on my list, but
wrong. Like a septuagenarian like beating the shit. It's not good.
René Rocca.
What about a French giant shark. Ape like swinging?
Oh, you bring an ape and a gun and a Volkswagen? Now there's a fight I can get behind, Tommy.
Well, I think that's just, you just call that The Weeknd. I don't know where this is going. What the fuck? We've gotten lame. We're not even insulting each other well here. This is sad.
Hey,
anyways, Donovan's Reef. Love it, man.
Donovan's Reef.
Oh, they're just throwing down. There's a gigantic Polynesian gentleman who's also fighting as the sheriff or whatever.
Well, we've talked before about how, the legend, I think one of the, maybe the only true things out of Hollywood Babylon was the idea that Lee Marvin had to hire a bodyguard to keep other people safe from him when he was drinking.
Yeah, well, he managed to pull it off. He's much smaller than Wayne, but he kind of holds his own in these.
Wayne was kind of, by the way, I know we always talk about like Marilyn Monroe was considered, and now she'd be considered overweight. But you know what? John Wayne really was kind of a tub of lard. I mean, he was also a tub of shit, but he was a fat guy, right?
Well, he got that way. He didn't start off, like you look at Stagecoach, good looking man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our aunt Susie always said, like he's good coming towards you, but he's terrible going away.
She said that specifically about John
Wayne. He had a terrible
Wayne.
Ass, yeah. She did. You know, he had a chewed bubblegum ass.
Sounds like she mulled that over a bit. Sounds like she was fighting her inner demons on that one.
Well, that was a woman who had no inner demons.
They were all the outside. Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so I fucking love Donovan's Reef just as a movie, but the fighting is good. And if you're going to go John Wayne, I can't figure a better one.
Have you? This isn't a gotcha thing. I'm really genuinely curious. Have you seen Donovan's Reef since we did it on the episode like 4 years ago?
No, but I loved it then.
We should watch it. We should do it one of these Sundays.
I haven't matured sufficiently. I still love that movie. I love it because it's also like, because I've always loved that movie. Like, I watched it when I was like six.
I understand that feeling. So, let's watch it again. Let's do a double feature, North to Alaska and Donovan's Reef. Let's go quirky, quirk-ass.
Yeah, like a John Wayne rom-com.
Kind of.
Yeah, no, not kind of. Kind of is.
I mean,
totally.
Dare we add Hatari to this?
Oh, could do Hatari for sure. The Quiet Man. There's all kinds of them.
Well, I when I say rank them, I know that Donovan Reese on top, but go from the bottom to the top. Hatari, North to Alaska, Donovan.
Are we talking about the actual movie?
Just your feelings. Just react.
Oh, the Quiet Man was okay, but it's
no. That wasn't one of my things.
Shut up.
It wasn't one of my options.
It was one of mine.
All right.
You listen up.
Okay.
It's just a little Mickey. Like, relax on the fucking Irishness a little bit. Right. But those three? Oh, well, Donovan Reeves is the top. Well, it's really hard on those other two.
It's any list.
North to Alaska. Yeah, okay. I think North to Alaska comes in second.
And Hatari.
Third is Hatari. And those last two are pretty close.
Because they're equally shitty.
Yeah, those are not good movies.
No.
Who the fuck directed those anyways?
I mean, Ford? another weekend I'd like to do some time with you, Tommy, if you got a little time to spare this summer, is the knockoff Dirty Harry, John Wayne, McHugh and Brannigan. I mean, that's some sweet action, baby.
McHugh is amazing.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh.
My next one is a fight, but it's not, it's a fake fight, but no, only one person knows it. Can you guess what it is?
Yeah.
It's the fake fight with the Russian wrestler in The Killing. It's part of the distraction.
Oh, okay.
This monstrosity of a man. He looks kind of like the Thing from the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
I think he was a real wrestler. And it's,
he was. He was a professional wrestler.
Wrestlers were like 800 pounds. They wore like these crazy ringlets with like little like looped like whatever you'd put an enormous medieval keychain on around like a bunch of them. And so the whole idea is they're ripping off a racetrack, and in order for Sterling Hayden, not Holloway, important distinction, to be let in by
what
Elisha
Campbell,
to be let into
the poor man knocked over a bat
to be bouncy for Elijah Cook Jr. who works at the betting window to let him in and be unnoticed, is you have to have this big fight.
Right.
And so it's an insane fight between...
It's kind of ridiculous, but it's kind of awesome.
It's kind of awesome because there's real physicality to it. I mean, he's doing everything but like a circus role. And,
right.
And there's like eight security guards just trying to manage this guy. It's a good fight. I don't have much more to say about that, but it's a solid. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a great, by the way, montage. That's not the right word, but just it's a movie that has a numerous little pieces.
Right.
The Killing. And that's one of my favorites.
Oh, that's a great movie. I love that.
Killing's fantastic.
Yeah, I love that, even though my dad tried to kill that thing in my heart.
Yeah, you can imagine, by the way, it's not by far Kubrick's best when I go like, what's his best? But if somebody said to me that The Killing or Paths of Glory, which are, let's say, maybe his two most straightforward movies, that was his best movie, I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't agree, but no. I wouldn't be mad.
No, they were really good.
Oh.
And I have to say, like, The Killing was written by my favorite noir writer.
Yeah.
And he actually wrote the screenplay for it.
Uh-huh.
And watching it, you're like, oh, yeah, that is him. Jim Thompson was the guy.
Oh, he wrote The Killing?
Yeah.
You love the Jim? You tried to show me a Jim Thompson movie one time? I love The Getaway. I love The Killing. So now I trust you. You tried to show me, the first time you mentioned Jim Thompson to me, a movie with Casey Affleck.
Oh, The Killer Inside.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was rotten.
You should go see the Stacey Keach version.
I will.
Okay.
Well, I'll probably have to rent it and go see it.
That's not a good book to try to turn into a movie.
All right.
And The Getaway was nothing like the book, but yeah. Anyways.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we did that episode. It was our Bookworms episode. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You don't do.
Yeah, I do, actually, Joe.
Right.
I made it happen.
You did make it happen.
Yeah,
they don't fight me on this. I'm not fighting you, baby.
Take that. All right. This is actually the best fight we're going to talk about today. You and me.
I'm going to mention your poor driving and rekindle that Yves Montand episode fight we got into. It was our most popular episode for a long time. You and I got into a knockdown dragout over my mentioning an auto accident you were in 1983. You don't remember this?
No.
Go check out the Yves Montand episode, everyone.
Why would I have been an accident in 83?
I'm exaggerating. It was like 1994, I want to say.
1920. Jazz was in the air.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with this one.
Yeah.
The Searchers.
I thought about that.
My fiance.
There's a lot of that, and there's like something like, don't cross this line. You don't cross this line. Who's the guy? Is Charlie's like,
right, Charlie, yeah. I know that part, and that's it. I don't even know the name of the other guy.
What's
fighting.
His Tam Hunter, right?
Is that right?
He's the guy, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the brother.
I'll go with you on that, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about John Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the movie The Searchers, but that's two different fucking movies. there's two different movies going on in there. One of them's a half-ass comedy, yeah. and the other is like a very serious cowboy movie.
And, yeah,
and at some point, he just shoehorns in this yeah, fight. Yeah, there's almost no, there's nothing to do with the story.
All
whatsoever.
That stuff about Lori, I'm taking a bath, all that sort of thing, like mm-hmm. really lame comedy. It's actually terrible. It speaks to how great the rest of the movie is that I can still consider
yes,
it a masterpiece.
And it's still a tremendous fucking movie.
It's a great
it totally
movie.
Overcomes that. Well, all right, John, whatever, you self-indulgent bastard, go ahead.
Listen, I'll say it here, I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying
many,
it.
Many, many times.
Which is the following, vis-a-vis this.
Dronally.
And that is, and that's that, that was me as a drone. That's that self-indulgence, no problem if it's good. In fact, I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
It's almost required for a movie to be really great to have some self-indulgence.
Right, but let's back it up and go. The Searchers, that self-indulgent wasn't yeah. that great. It's not that well done.
You mean his, wait, the comedy part? That yeah, self-indulgent? Oh, yeah, but there are other parts that are self-indulgent that are really great. The Canyon Seeds, the don't ever ask me again. I mean, the Duke is...
at his best.
He's poor. I mean, I honestly think there's a part of me that feels like he thought, maybe I could be a great actor. And he was trying.
I think that was his shot right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a pretty goddamn good shot. He
I like
it off.
Way better than True Grit.
Oh, yeah.
It's not
yeah.
even close.
I even like the remake of True Grit better than I do the original True Grit.
I am going to go with you on that one. All right.
Well done, Joseph.
My next film is, Bad Day at Black Rock.
Oh, yep. The karate. You the one-armed karate master.
One-armed karate man. You got Lee Marvin again.
Yeah.
You got Ernest Borgnine.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Ryan. You got a bunch of toughs here. Mm-hmm. And they are needling.
Walter Brennan.
Well, he's not needling. He's sort of an ally to Spencer Tracy. They are needling the one-armed man. By the way, side note. I suspend disbelief with classic movies. I never once thought, is that a believable one-armed man?
No.
It
certainly isn't. Well, here's the thing. I would say you might be kind of breaking the rules of your own thing here.
Okay.
Because it's kind of obviously karate that he's pulling off there. Because he's chopping. That's
Wait.
At one point he goes, karate chop. And then he put pee-pee in someone's drink.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Well, he...
God damn it.
He did... There was one chop. I'm going to argue against you on this one. There was one chop... But it was the kind of... I actually have received a chop like that in a fight in seventh mm-hmm. grade. And it's a kind of chop that your older brother teaches you. Like, chop the windpipe. It'll knock him out. Then you can kapow, kapow.
Get him in the side of the head.
Well, so that... And that's what he did. He gave mm-hmm. Ernest Borgnine a karate chop yeah, in the...
Kind of go either way on this, but I'm going to let you... I'm going to let you point
Because then he just pushes him right to the screen door.
Ah, take that.
And it revolves... It's something about chili and ketchup. It's a whole thing going on there, Tommy.
It involves chili and ketchup. Yeah,
well, I mean, there's condiments. There's chopping. I love it.
I don't... That's one of the things that I find very weird about that whole scene.
Yeah.
You kind of can't put enough ketchup into your chili.
If you want a sweet
angle on that one, that's the way to go.
I think our lineage would say, first of all, chili sauce, not ketchup, Tom. That weird ketchup-like thing that grandma used to buy from Del Monte, chili sauce.
What are you talking about? I don't know
It's
this.
A thicker, it's like a club-footed Heinz bottle.
It's like a one-armed Heinz bottle.
It is like a one-armed.
But it could fight.
It's kind of a chunky glass Heinz bottle, and it's chili sauce. And it's like ketchup, but it's like
spicy.
More zesty. But it's not like chili. It's not hot. It's just kind of thicker.
I don't remember this at all.
It might have been a scam, but they definitely sold it. And to me, that's what you put in... in the old, and not too much. I disagree with that. I don't want to get bogged down here with this.
Well, but. I mean, it changes the whole fucking profile of the goddamn thing. But I've had, it's like, it, let's put it this way. It's really good for bad chili. Let's put it that way.
Borgnine just grabs it, says, here's some more, tosses the whole bottle, and the cap it goes in there.
Oh, now that's rude.
That's too much.
Yeah. I mean, roughage.
What's Spence supposed to do?
Yeah. Well, use like one of his remaining five fingers to pull him out.
Well, and especially from off frame, he kept hearing, get him, Spence, get him.
Get what?
Oh, it's a goat.
My God.
All right. That was Bad Day.
You're
Black
a goat.
Rock.
Yeah. Okay, Bad Day at Black Rock. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's. God, son of a gun.
Yep. Son of a gun. Tom's looking at his list.
This phone.
Oh, boy.
Wait till I replace you, phone. Okay. Oh, I think this is the one you were thinking.
Okay, let's
Hard Times.
It. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's a great movie.
It's great, yeah.
The fight scenes are beautiful, beautifully choreographed.
Yes.
Again, we might be in some gray area here because it is bare knuckle boxing is what it is.
Yeah, but it's a prison environment. I'll take it.
Well, I mean, it's Louisiana, so I get that analogy there.
I got one that's a little like that, actually.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's Louisiana. Yeah, well, James Coburn is, I forget if James Coburn's a prisoner as well, but he somehow is got his scrounger behavior on, and he's become a prison promoter for Bronson.
I think this is a different movie you're thinking of.
No.
No, he's a promoter, but they're not in prison.
Well, whatever.
They're just traveling around the South, scratching
it together. I'm conflating two movies. I'm conflating Breakout with Hard Times. You're right.
Yeah, it's different. Okay, but yeah, anyway. Yeah, yeah. But, great fight scenes, like Charles Bronson at his kind of his best. This is before the 70s paunch and turtleneck sweater stage.
Hey, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but going back to The Great Escape, the scuttlebutt these days, I guess people are still asking about The Great Escape, to those who were still survivors who can still think. No,
they haven't escaped it.
They haven't escaped it. You blew it. Is the person everyone hated was Charles Bronson.
Really?
I would think it would be Steve McQueen, that he'd be such an ass and everyone hated him.
Charles Bronson was famously a sweetheart.
I had heard that in general, but on this film, I think he was so enraged that he was losing the three-way battle for Stardom, supremacy or whatever between McQueen and Garner and he, that he was really a piece of garbage on that thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Plus he was, yeah.
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 Great movie though.
Yeah, yeah. So that was Hard Times.
Hard Times.
Yes, okay. Sir. I got for you here. Oh, it's this one. I wanted to show it to you, actually. I'll show it to you, and if it doesn't work, I'll just cut it out visually.
Shut up.
I think this is so great.
Fucking Weatherman?
Anchorman.
That's it.
Yes. Let me move it forward a little bit.
Oh, it's one of the great. It's one of the greatest fight scenes of all time.
I mean, they're fighting with the other cable guys or the other news guys, and then my favorite thing is at some point with like PBS comes in.
Yes.
Oh, it's such a great.
Well, the best thing about the whole fucking movie, as far as I'm concerned,
Telemundo with yeah.
is just Steve Carell's character. First off, Brick.
Yeah.
And somehow in this fight, he just has a grenade.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know what to do with the fucking thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a tremendous
fight. I love this movie.
I'm not a huge fan
it's
of like parody fights. I think the aforementioned Blazing Saddles, that's the weakest part of the movie. But this one, it rocks. I love it. And it's, let me look at the time here. It's over 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a considerable
really crazy.
Fight. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anchorman is a great. I mean, great movie in general, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great movie, but it's.
It's
so
funny.
Fucking fun.
It's funny, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll go with you on that one.
Okay.
All right.
Anchorman.
I'm going to go with one. This is a very brief one, and I'm dipping back into Chuck Bronson here.
Please.
All right. It's The Evil That Men Do.
What's the fight in there?
At one point, he's in this bar, and a giant black dude tries to attack him, and he just grabs him by the cock and chokes him out with his foot. It's pretty goddamn awesome.
It's really it's a fight in the most technical sense because he's just fighting with a guy's wiener.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Haven't we all been there?
Yeah. Pretend you're fighting with a wiener. Get on that mic, will you?
You should just stop being a wiener.
Okay. Anyways. Yeah. No. That's a good. Boy, you're stretching it, but I like the stretch.
It's barely a fight, but it's more of a massacre in the worst possible way.
Yeah.
Like I think watching that's a scene that will haunt a gentleman for a long fucking time.
Nice. Well, now this is one that it caused some stupid controversy. And we mentioned this when we actually talked about this film. It was one of your choices.
Schindler's List, yes.
Yeah, the big fight. Brad Pitt against whoever's playing Bruce Lee in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That's great.
That's a great fucking fight. I mean, it's not great. The fighting is great. Mm-hmm. It's kind of insane and almost surreal. Mm-hmm. When he picks him up and throws him 40 feet into a car or something. But also the concept, because it's the part of the movie where you're not quite sure what's real and not real. He's imagining that. He's actually, I think technically, he's imagining this from the roof when he's roofing the guy's, Leonardo DiCaprio's roof. And he takes off his shirt and he kind of rethinks.
I thought it was a flashback.
I don't know. That's what I mean. Someone will correct me, but in any case, there are segments of this movie that are like, Tarantino always has it like, wait, did that already happen? Or is that about to happen? But this is different. There are segments of Once Upon a Time in America where you're like, wait, is that a mythology being remembered, told, happening now? You know, there's a few, and this sort of qualifies as that. In any case, the fight scene is great. And the big controversy was very stupid. Was the Asian American community getting really upset that Tarantino had reimagined Bruce Lee as getting his ass kicked, which is kind of the joke, which is kind of what's the whole thing that's interesting about it. It's like, it's kind of absurd. Of course he wouldn't.
Well, it is also a piece of Hollywood mythology. Cliff Booth is based on a guy who was a stunt double back in those days. And apparently that it is based on like the notion that actually did happen.
Feeding into the white supremacist message.
Ah, take that.
Actually, more than that, what a nerd. I love it. What a cinema nerd you are to know all that. All right. Well, that was a choice of mine.
I care, Joe.
Do you?
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Okay. This is hard to not do this one at some point. I'm going to say Fight Club.
Oh.
Top to bottom.
Well, there's one. I mean, speaking
that's of kind of magically happens, the theme of the whole fucking movie
is that it never happens, and that it's fighting. It's fighting, and the fighting never happens.
Well, there's the one element of it, but yeah, the others are, but like the actual fighting. Yeah. There is fighting.
Imagined or not, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it's really well done. Yeah. It's actual dudes.
It's dudes bleeding being dudes. And
spitting their teeth into each other's mouths. Oh, take that. Oh,
that's like you and your story with Dusty or Rusty.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. Yeah.
Well, you should at this point.
Might have been one of those two. It might have been Rusty, but I think it's Dusty. Oh, I see where you're going.
Yeah.
Okay. Can't argue.
Do you know this one?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, it's not actually. I just wanted to get it set for later. Okay. Good one. Okay. This could be number three or number one. I'm not even sure. It's so good. It's so iconic, and it's a turn in this movie. George Kennedy, Paul Newman, Cool Hand Luke.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Stay down, Luke. Stay down.
Such a great movie. Anyway.
It's so great. It's one of the best. I know that it's become cliche to talk about how men beat the shit out of each other and then they're best friends again, or maybe that's what makes them best friends. But in this movie, it really does work so fucking well that Kennedy is willing, because also there's a kind of currency they exchange there, because Kennedy's a dope. He's a dope who's running the show.
Oh, yeah,
he's a
dope. Yeah.
And Newman is smart.
Right.
But Kennedy's always going to wipe the floor with him. So there's like this sort of like, by him beating it up, it's like they get to exchange things finally.
Right.
And become a team.
Well, you got to respect that, right? Like this guy will take that kind of beating just to not let you not give him that kind of beating. I don't know how to say it. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's a great fight scene. Yeah, absolutely. Ah, one of my favorite movies.
Oh, it's such a great movie.
Ah, my favorite scene. What's the best scene in that movie?
It's not that one.
It is. No, Lucille. It's not even close. It's so brilliant.
It's just so cliche.
What other fucking movie have you seen that in, dummy?
A bunch, but that's one thing. But also, it's not even like the 10th.
It's funny. It's pretty funny.
It's good. I like it. But it doesn't make me cry, Tommy. Like several other parts of the movie make me cry. Yeah. Oh, my God.
But I laughed because that's how I deal with it.
When he gets the banjo delivered and his mother's died.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's singing the old
banjo to what? It brings you back to your childhood, Joe, so I can't blame you.
Oh, please. All right, go ahead.
All right. This is my favorite fight scene of any movie.
Okay.
Ever.
Please.
Not a great movie.
All right.
They Live.
Now I got to get rid of my second.
Okay. This is my number one right
this
here.
This is my second number. Actually, might be my number one. It is so crazy good.
It's the dumbest, best fight scene ever created. It's so good.
You believe there was no script when you see that fight
scene. Yeah. I mean, these are just two giant dudes.
Yeah, Roddy Piper.
Yeah, Roddy Piper and Keith David.
Yeah.
Just dropping each other on their heads on the fucking concrete.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. I don't think there was any blood during the fight.
And it was all for one thing that was understandable about it. And it's kind of the only thing that kept you there was it's the fantasy we all have as kids that you know something, you have dreams like this. Yeah. You know something, you got to get other people to believe it. Mm-hmm. They're not paying attention. And it's like, he's actually, he has the guns. I'm holding my guns up, my two fists out, these guns. Mm-hmm. He's got the guns. He's got the...
Never seen a sleeve shake that freely.
The skin flapping on it. But he's got the manpower to make the other guy listen and finally put those sunglasses on.
Yeah, but how stupid is that? I mean, it's just, it's so insane. Like, what kind of brain damage would you cause on another human being so that they would stand still long enough for you to put sunglasses on their face?
It's the fate of the world, Tommy. Ah. I mean, obey, consume. I mean, that's, you know what I'm becoming, by the way?
An obeying consumer.
That too. I'm becoming a fast fan now with two movies of John Carpenter.
Really?
I love The Thing.
I think John Carpenter is... done some tremendous work.
I love They Live.
Right.
Is They Live a great movie? You're right. It's not, but I've never seen it with anyone else who hasn't, I take it back. There's one person.
I can imagine.
Yep. You probably know who it is. Who hasn't gone, I don't know why I love this movie, but yeah. I love this movie.
It's so flawed. It's not a good movie.
But it's fun.
It's beautiful. It's lovely. And that fight scene is the
piece chef's kiss
of resistance.
Chef's kiss with a glove on.
Okay.
A boxing glove.
Oh, okay, okay.
Just to be clear. Not like a Jackie O glove.
Okay.
Although maybe that too. All right. Fair enough.
Well. A little white glove treatment.
So I sort of queued it up here. We could just have it in the background. We don't have to have any sound on as we continue the conversation. It's Denzel Washington's The Equalizer. Now, here's my caveat. I've never seen the movie. And it to me, I'm very...
I've never seen Joseph love a movie so much.
I got so excited. I knocked my headphones off. I've never seen this movie.
Really?
And it's a parallel to the John Wick thing. And I think I've never seen this because of John Wick. Because every once in a while, I'll watch YouTube clips of The Equalizer with Denzel Washington. Mm-hmm. Because these fight scenes are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But because of John Wick, I can only imagine the rest of the movie is fucking horrible. But he's just like, let me pick up a credit card, slice this guy's throat. Yeah, I got a locker key. I'll unlock this guy's asshole. I mean, he's just vimmin'. He always...
He's vimmin'? Is that German for women?
He's vimmin' and he's vomin'. he is just nonstop. And also, I suspend... Oh, there he goes. Oh, he slid his... Oh my God! Sorry, audience. Mm-hmm. Wow,
this is good radio.
He
buddy.
Is just killing him over here. If you can see what I see, and Denzel Washington's 93 years old. I don't care. I don't care that he's William Holding it. I don't give a shit. He is so good, and he also, you know what he doesn't do, and I appreciate this. There's no tagline. Time to take out the none of that. Straight talk. I'm gonna fucking kill.
Well, he checks his watch and then kicks a room full of ass.
That is the gimmick. I agree. Yeah. Like, he tries to beat his personal best.
His personal time. Yeah.
You're right. That is kind of stupid. But he just there's another one where I don't know what he does. I don't know if you've seen this one. He with his forefinger, his pointer finger, and his thumb. He grabs a guy's taint. No, he grabs a guy somewhere in his hand and just, he gives him a little speech. I guess he does do a little tagline stuff, but he gives him a little speech. He goes, this is a three. Number four, you shit your pants. And the guy just, won't give you anything. It's so good.
I like this movies. The movies are, I mean, again, not bad, much better than John Wick.
Oh, really?
There's actually more or less a story going on.
Yeah.
You know, he likes to beat up on people who beat up on other people.
But I just feel even...
It's not just a dog died for fun.
But I trust you, but it's still, I don't even feel the need. I can just get YouTube clips if I want a little testosterone rush or whatever. These movies,
These movies are built for us, dude. Meaning? Again, well, because look at, like, William Holden over here, the 65-year-old, like, it's built for built for older guys who aren't in great shape, who think they can kick ass.
Oh, so it's inspiring. I never thought of it that way. Well, there's a good argument, allow me to bore you for a minute here, that...
how many minutes we've been on?
The way men's bodies have changed in terms of, there's a greater degree of men feeling insecure about their bodies. It used to be no one gave a shit. We're like, who cares if you like my body or not? I'm in charge. And now it's sort of like there's competition. And the argument is like, kind of going back to John Wayne, like John Wayne was the ultimate, and now he's, you look at him like, oh, kind of a double R, that guy. And it's like, even Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man has like a 12 pack.
Right.
And so I see what you're saying. Movies have changed. And so this a kind of movie like The Equalizer gets a, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a guy, for a guy's named Murray.
Murray.
Yeah, yeah. So.
All right. I got some alternates here.
No, go for it. I'm kind of out.
Yeah. I didn't think these qualified because they're not actual fights. They're more like beatdowns. One is Sean. You ever seen Bad Boys with Sean Penn?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a scene in
there. The Coke scene?
The Coke scene.
Yep.
Yeah. That's... Okay. Pesci and De Niro in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
When it's knocking.
I kind of knew you were going to go there.
You're a little hot on the mic.
Okay.
A little too much. Yeah. 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 And it's like, yeah, but it's not a fight. No. I mean, it's just a stomping.
But if you want to go down that route, you could do the same. That same guy in fucking, what is it? Raging Bull. Get beaten up with a car door.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. Well, I thought of something closer.
Pesci hated that guy.
And that's this. Hey, Pesci did hate that guy. That's. That's the guy, same guy from Casino, where Pesci gets taken into the cornfield. He and his brother get beaten into a hole. That's his buddy, and his buddies betrayed them. And it's kind of an inside joke, like the reversal from, right? Okay, you touch my sister again, I'm going to kill you. Sonny and Carlo. When he finds out that Carlo's beating up, what's her name, Talia Shire, that beating, by the way, it's like a performance by a symphony. He's got a garbage can lid. At one point,
he misses altogether.
He's kicking him. There's a fire hydrant going off. At one point, Carlo, to save himself, grabs the iron gating, and James Caan can't pry him off, so he starts biting his knuckles. Oh, it's great. I love it.
Okay, I got to say, another great fight scene from that movie as well is Talia Shire can take a belt.
Yeah, I guess that's a pretty good fight scene.
It's as much a fight scene as the other. It's a beatdown.
You're not wrong. It's a one way. It's got one way to it. That's not bad.
I'm not sexist. I don't know about you.
Well, you know what? That is interesting, too, because I was trying to think of a movie. Remember the movie Caged we watched? It was from 1950. It was part of our Big House episode. It's the woman. She gets sent up the river. She's kind of, it's a classic, like, never been in jail before, never did anything wrong. Oh, yeah, she was a getaway driver. They shave her head at the end. Mm-hmm. There's the fucking shitty lesbian warden. I said shitty. And I was trying to think of a movie like that. Did that have a fight scene? Because it is something. There really aren't many women fighting in these movies.
No.
I mean, there are women with guns.
Right.
I mean, there's the Sigourney Weaver alien type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there are not women fighting, unless you go to some like B-70s,
literally say that's called
Women Behind Bars or something. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm with you. I can't think of a female.
We're calling on Hollywood. Never mind this equal pay business. Let's get some women fighting, shall we?
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Tommy, it's been a pleasure.
Ah, as always, my friend.
All right. I love you.
Love you.